Save money and energy like a boss. Find ideas and incentives for your facility from the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program at ComEd.com/likeaboss.
This is Cap and J-Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap J-Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Whatever it is, I know this.
Wake up.
We better wake our tails up. Every freaking coach on the staff, every player.
Wake up.
Better wake up. Start understanding where we're at.
You're better than that.
Have some personal pride. Have a freaking sense of urgency.
You're better than that.
Know where we're at. Have some pride into who we're playing for and why we do this. And
grab a cup of coffee and find a way to win a football game.
Go find a way to win as a team.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate you listening to the show, my man. 312-332-3776. He's Hoodie. I'm Cap. I just asked Hoodie, is Hood your real name? Or was that a radio name many, many moons before I knew you?
Danny. This guy. How long have we been working? I mean, yeah, we haven't worked together that long. The idea that he asked me whether or not Hood is my real name is ridiculous.
I thought everyone knew your real name was Jonathan Hoodstein. That was a given.
That's what I thought. Like, I was talking to my friend Lance McAllister, who we've had on the show.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
And Lance.
Don't do that.
I'm not going to give out the real name.
God
but
almighty.
I said something about McAllister. That's like, you know, the spelling's unusual. And he goes, well, that's actually not my name. I'm like, excuse me? I've known you forever. Excuse me? He's like, no, my news director in South Bend, I think he said, made me change my name. So he picked a football player he liked and took his name. But it's not on his driver's license. I'm like, maybe he's Jonathan Hoodberg. I don't know.
I don't think you should have sold that story. Well, there goes your relationship with him.
Yeah. What football player? Did he like Chris McAllister? He's older than Chris McAllister.
Bobby McAllister, the old Michigan State quarterback.
Well, now tell us his real name.
No. Not doing
you
that.
I'm going to Google it.
You shouldn't have done that.
Jonathan Hoodstein. I don't know.
Bro, do I look like a Hoodstein to
no.
you? Really?
Hoodberg.
Someone who eats dark meat is a Hoodstein. Really? What the hell are you doing over there?
Does Lenny Kravitz look like a Kravitz?
To me, yes. Yes, to
like
me.
He just said to me, Larry Lujack was named after the Notre Dame quarterback. I'm like, excuse me?
My guy, Lenny Kravitz. You know, yeah, listen, I love Lenny Kravitz. Man, I beat your ass. Maybe, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that too much. I beg your pardon.
Wow. Anyway, 312-332-3776.
Baby, I'll wear you out. I'd like to date you. I didn't mean to be too aggressive. like I said,
which person am I getting? Matt Nagy spoke yesterday, and we want to play the first chunk of this again. I want you to hear Matt Nagy. Hoodie and I listened to this and went, sounds like somebody's pointing the finger.
Hey, Matt, we talked to Mitch after you spoke to us last night, and he was asked pretty much straight up, you know, do you think you did enough out there tonight to earn the start against the Lions? And his response was, I don't know. I mean, what do you say after, you know, a game like that? Do you feel that now you've gone through everything that there were enough positives out there where you can move forward with him? Or do you have to wait and see sort of where Nick's hip is this week?
No, I thought here's, Jeff, what I saw with that game last night was we had 70 plays and almost 48 of those 70 were in no huddle because of the deficit we were in right away and because time being our enemy. So, I mean, you look up and you have 16 plays in the first half before you get into a 14 play drive that results in a touchdown at the end of the second quarter. So, is there good in there? Yeah, there's good. He made some great third down throws for first downs. He made a great fourth down throw. You know, the touchdown at the end of the second quarter was a hell of a decision and a great athletic play that he threw to A-Rob. You know, he used his cadence. He made some good progressions. Were there other things in the game that he can get better at? Absolutely. progression wise, can he be better in certain spots? Yeah. But for us, what happens is this, is if you're going to get behind like we did and be in a drop back game for as long as we were in it, it's hard. It's not easy. And you can't play a normal game. You can't set things up with play actions. You can't get into the movements, the screens, the nakeds. When you got to sit back there and drop back that many times in a game because you're down and the deficit's there, there's going to be more of those type of errors with progressions and that sort of thing. But, you know, we had some penalties there that I think early on, you know, got converted a 3rd and 7 and had a penalty. And then the next play, we get a little pressure up the gut and, you know, we end up ball security. We lose the football and they get a touchdown. And just like that, guys, it's 27-3. You know, there's some things that I feel like offensively yesterday in the run game was a lot better. I thought protection was a lot better. I thought our offensive line played their ass off yesterday. I thought they did a good job of fighting. They handled that front four pretty well. They established the run game. They did it the second play of the game. David fought his tail off and running hard. And so that part to me is good. But, you know, again, this has to be we have to be able to play a game where the three phases play together. And our defense knows when we talk through this stuff, we talk as a team, how important they are to how we're built and what they mean to us and how they get stuff started. And so when we go out there on the field, we expect a 3-and-out. If not a 3-and-out, we expect a punt. That's just who we are. And when that doesn't happen, you know, it digs us in a hole. And so we're fighting and fighting, and you get a deficit like that, and it's just hard to overcome. And, oh, by the way, it's even more difficult when you're playing Aaron Rodgers. So we get that. But whatever it is, I know this. We better wake our tails up. Every freaking coach on the staff, every player, better wake up and start understanding where we're at. Have some personal pride. Have a freaking sense of urgency. Know where we're at. Have some pride into who we're playing for and why we do this. And then go find a way to win as a team. That's my challenge to every single person in that building this week, is that. And so yesterday was flat out embarrassing. Our guys know it. I'm not telling you something they don't know. They know it. But we're gonna step up, and all coaches, all players, and we got 5 games left. So for us, it's our own personal challenge as to where we're at and how we're gonna do this thing. But that performance yesterday is ridiculous and can't happen. And obviously that starts with me.
Thoughts there from Matt Nagy. I thought, you know, listening to him, what he said sounds like you every morning. He's taken right from the playbook of David Kaplan.
Find a way to win a football game. Well, we'll see. They better beat Detroit. They lose to Detroit, then all bets are off. They may not win another game.
Yeah, I think that's very likely. I just think that what he said there, Cap, was something that I hope he said to the locker room. And kind of, and just listening to Matt, and I think you know him better than I do, it makes me think that he said something similar to this to the locker room, maybe after the Packer game, maybe not Monday because they weren't there on Monday to talk to, right? They weren't
correct
there. So, but after the game, I'm sure that's some of the stuff that he said after the game we heard right there. But ultimately, that's got to be kept in-house. I appreciate the honesty, but if you're not resonating with your players and your coaching staff, then you've lost everything. Not only are you losing games, but you've lost the team.
Yeah, and he has preached that their culture is amazing. So,
doesn't matter. Don't care.
Yeah, just find a way to win a football
don't
game.
Care. You know, the Jerron culture was good, too.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
You know.
The Lovey culture was amazing.
Yeah, but if the bottom line for not just for fans, organizations, owners, did you win or did you lose? Are we close to a championship or further behind the eight ball when it comes to a championship? That's what it comes down to. It's as simple as that. And when you're here to fix the offense and it looks like that, this is what you get.
And by the way, watching the Eagles last night really was like watching the Bears offensively.
Yes.
The only difference is they've got freaking huge money tied up in Carson Wentz, and we don't. Thank God.
Oh, well, I mean, listen, that could be Foles, and it could be going to the same issues. You know, you really haven't fixed it. And you can't go to Jalen Hurts. God forbid you go to Jalen Hurts because, well, you just can't do that. Why? Why? You have to fix it, right? You have to be able to turn it around. I'm watching a guy here that is struggling between the ears in Wentz.
He needs a fresh start.
Yeah, and so do the Bears.
No doubt.
So what about KJZ this morning? Because after that long rant, and Meller hit it right on the, he hit around the head. Every time you looked up at ESPN, whether it's a Monday night football game or just watching college basketball, whatever, that was on the bottom line. It kept rolling that Nagy wants the team to wake up. Everyone sees that. So what did KJZ say?
Here's what Keyshawn, who played a long time in the league, was the number one overall pick. He's wildly connected and very opinionated. Keyshawn on Matt Nagy's comments that you just heard.
Stop blaming everybody else. Stop trying to put the assistant coaches on notice. You handpicked the assistant coaches. That's your staff. You know, now you're doing one of these to me.
Want to point different ways?
Yeah, it's like, come on, man. Like, we're putting all the coaches on notice. Well, maybe you might be on notice, bruh. What you think in Chicago?
Doesn't this sound, it's crazy the difference between a college coach saying something like that, like Nick Saban saying something like that. When you're in college, it just carries so much more weight. You get to the pros and you hear a coach say that, you're like, man, what's this dude talking about?
First of all, I don't think you ever hear Nick Saban say that, though. That's number one.
I'm just saying the gravity when a college coach says it, right? Because it feels like you're bought in a lot more. There's that different kind of...
It's a different
in college.
Pro players ain't... It's like, man, you're going to be gone anyway.
Yeah, you ain't hearing
that. You ain't even gone. I'm going to outlast you for now. So that's kind of the pro mentality. The biggest mistake he could have ever made as a coach, though, in all honesty, but it's two. One, going and getting Nick Foles. And two is benching Mitch Trubisky.
Week three. Yeah.
And I understand they started off 5-1 and, mm-hmm. and Nick Foles won a couple games, but it was bound to go left in a heartbeat. It was going to go wrong because history shows when Nick Foles is the guy, doesn't go well. I mean, think about it. Jacksonville Jaguars basically got duped into giving him a bunch of money and then having a late seventh round pick beat him out in Gardner Minshew. Then he goes and gets traded to Chicago because Matt Nagy thinks that, okay, I'm going to get the same guy that Doug had and the same backup that I know in knew in Kansas City who knows my system, and I'm just waiting for the opportunity in the moment that Mitch is not pushing the ball down the field on a consistent basis, and then I'm going to bench him and start him. But at the same time, he miscalculated because he didn't realize that his job was going to be on the line by doing that.
Interesting comments from Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, guys who have walked the walk and talked the talk as they've played in the pros.
That's your staff, bruh.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
It's your staff. You put that together. You handpicked Nick Foles. You got rid of Harry Heistand for Juan Castillo. You got rid of Mark Helfrich for Bill Lazor. You added John Deville. Those are your guys, not ours.
So, I mean, it's just hard to watch every Sunday. I know that that's our job, but it's hard to watch when I see the rest of the NFL and I'm watching the red zone and I'm watching teams that are not very good and teams that are very good move the ball down the field. And then you see the Bears just like, God, I know this is not going to be good. Let's take a look. I shouldn't have that feeling when
Why can't we be the Titans?
I'll take that.
In a second, I'd take that.
I could be an above average quarterback with the arrow pointing up and a strong running game.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
A solid defense.
I can do that.
All right. 312-332-3776. Are Matt Nagy's words meaningless at this point? Your calls. Straight ahead.
Take that.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Question we're asking is, are Matt Nagy's words meaningless here on Cap and Jay Hood? Mornings between 7 and 10 on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to you. We say hello to Louie in Hammond, Indiana here on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Louie.
Cap Hood, what's going on? Hey.
What's going on, Louie?
Pleasure to be on with you guys. I got to respect Detroit and what they did. They got rid of the coach and the general manager. That's what the Bears need to do right now. We have the worst quarterback in the division. And the fact that Brian Pace didn't do his due diligence by not bringing Watson in and taking him out to dinner and asking him the question when Clemson's head coach saying, if you pass on this guy, you're passing on Michael Jordan. I understand the kid from Kansas City.
Yeah,
no one saw him coming. No one thought Mahomes coming, but I thought Deshaun Watson, two championship games, give Alabama all they can want and won a championship and put Clemson on the map. Right, now, if we would have had Mahomes or Deshaun Watson right now, we would be in heaven. But now, right now, we're in hell. My question to you, I got two things. Brian Kelly should be the next head coach of the Bears, but the Bears go cheap. They always try to get the hot-shotted business. They won't pay top dollar. Brian Kelly is one of the top five head coaches in football the last 5 years. Check out his record. He knows offense. Mm-hmm. He can find a quarterback in the 3 or 4 rounds. He can get one, but they won't do it. Matter of fact, I don't think they're going to fire Pace and Nagy. They won't do it. They're cheap.
No, they're going to bring those fuckers back. That, Louis, and we appreciate the telephone call. No, that's going to happen. We just don't know when. I'll say this about Brian Kelly too, Cap, is that Brian Kelly has earned the right to be able to interview for a head coaching job in the NFL, and here's why. You know, we look at the blue blood programs in college football, and we see Notre Dame. Now, Notre Dame, again, they've already been in the Final Four. Brian Kelly, when he first got here, was red-faced Brian Kelly. I go, this guy hasn't grown up from his time in Cincinnati. You've got to be able to be better and grow up as a head coach.
Yeah, he was a maniac.
But you know what? Better. He's matured.
Yes.
And if it's behind closed doors, it's behind closed doors. But as far as the press and dealing with his players out front, he's a different guy to me. I think he's matured into the job to the point where if you're an NFL guy and you see what Kelly has done, you'd say, you know what, I could consider him a candidate. I definitely would interview him. So Kelly would be a name, I think, for some NFL teams.
Yeah, and I don't disagree. I'm not, you know, the Notre Dame lover here, that's for sure. But, yes, his offense looks pro style. I like the way his quarterback has developed. He's going to go down. Ian Book, and I'm not saying Ian Book's the be-all, end-all. He's going to go down as the winningest quarterback in the history of the University of Notre Dame. That's quite a statement.
It really is. And under Kelly's regime, this team has been really good. Saw them against North Carolina. I like that matchup because you see Mac Brown. He could have just been in Boca, you know, just chilling.
Yeah.
He goes, you know what? I'm going to do something here. You know, I'm older here, and this is going to be – I'm in the twilight of my career. You know, I'm going to go back home again to North Carolina and do something, get to a couple of bowl games and feel accomplished, right?
Yeah.
And so watching that game, I kind of thought Notre Dame would win. But the point is, though, is that Brian Kelly has steadied the ship nicely. And I'm not saying that he's going to be the next Bears coach, but I can understand how someone would look at Kelly and say, you know what, you've been very successful, and you're more of a CEO than a head coach just based on your sideline decorum. I like what I see.
He's been better.
Let's have
no
a conversation
question about it.
Yeah.
Fair is fair.
Yeah.
312-332-3776. Julian's out in Lindenhurst. He's next. Hey, Julian.
Hey, guys. Good morning, Sparky.
What's up, Cookie?
What's up, brother?
Hey, listen. All I got to say is think of Lou Saban. Forget that Homer Kelly stuff. They need somebody with NFL, what goes on in the NFL. And we got it. We got an institutional knowledge that we should be using. Let's bring back Thayer. Let's bring back Jimbo Colbert. Let's use these guys to find our next coach, our next GM, our next president. We got to start with a president. McCaskey's, give up some of that money, all right? Give 10% of that team up. Bring somebody up. Go to Kansas City. See the brain trust in Kansas City. Pick a person out of that organization. You know, we got people around here. You know, bring Singletary back. Find a spot for him. Teach that kick in the mouth mentality that Ditka brought in. That's what we have. This is a great sports town. You know, we rivaled Dallas as America's team when we were on top. And that's where the Bears need to get back. We need to kick
Why do I
mouth.
Want Mike
get
Singletary
win
here?
What is my, what? Get a win a toss in a football game and give Rodgers the ball so he kicks it down your butthole. You go down there and you kick it down their butthole. That's what we need to bring back. And, yeah, Singletary, whatever. I'm just saying as far as bringing back some mentality, kick back. You know what? His speech yesterday was like Charlie Brown's teacher. Blah, 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 blah. Who's Nagy? Nagy's nothing. That's from a coach that's won playoff games and maybe a Super Bowl and played for a Super Bowl. Nagy's done crap. He's a good assistant coach. That's all he was and that's all he's ever going to be.
Appreciate the call. Thanks, Julian.
Julian, we appreciate your phone call from 1995.
Right. He wants the old Bear. It's times are different today. The game is different today.
Not in his eyes.
Let's go to Keith at Bellwood, 312-332-3776. What's up, Sparkles?
Guys, I'm about to blow a top right now. Are you kidding me? Brian Kelly, Michaels, stop it. Just stop it. The Bears are horrible. We know that. get a college-ranked coach. I'm from Michigan. I hate Ohio State, but I got to say it. There's a gentleman in on game days on Sunday who is very, very knowledgeable about football who is not coaching again. I won't say his name because I'm from Michigan, okay? You guys get where I'm at with this.
No, we don't. Stop it. Just say what you have to say, Keith. We're not.
What I'm saying is this. The Bears suck.
Okay. Okay.
I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Keith.
Appreciate you
for nothing.
He doesn't want. He wants Urban Meyer.
Well, just say the name. You're screaming and yelling into your car, you know, at us, but you won't say the person's name. Then your point is null and void. If you feel that Urban Meyer would be a good coach, I don't think on the NFL level, but definitely there's a reason why he took the Fox job.
What about Urban Meyer as an executive?
No, I'm not done. The reason why that Urban Meyer took the Fox job is because he wanted to be closer to USC. That's why he's in Los Angeles. Now, no, he would not work for my NFL front office. Absolutely not.
Tell me why. He knows talent.
Yeah, on the college level.
But that's the guys that you're trying to bring here. Now, I've had someone say to me who knows him, look, him, Nick Saban, to a lesser degree, Ryan Day now, he's still got to prove it, but Lincoln Riley, they recruit 30 number one picks every year. Like Nick Saban goes, I'll take him and him and him and him and him. They're all five-star. Hey, coach, in the NFL, you only get one, and we traded our pick for 2 years, so you're not getting any. So would Urban Meyer, because of his ability to recognize talent, be a fit, not as your head coach, but somewhere like your president of football operations?
Absolutely. In Atlanta, it'd be great. Arthur Blank could work with him. He'd be great. Let him be doing that someplace else. Let him prove himself someplace else. Not here. We turn now to Dan Zetterman with the breaking news here. Danny, let us know what's going on in your life, because if you remember, Cap, there was a story that was told there by Danny Zetterman about...
Eloquently.
Yeah, well, what's going on with his life? He told a great story in our IBM You Make the Call segment. And Danny, could you explain the fallout from the explanation that's going on with you and your friend?
Yes, gentlemen, if you remember... Not last Friday, the Friday after Thanksgiving, the one before that, I told the story of my friend Kevin, whose wife, I believe I called her Karen.
Yep.
Karen told my wife she was going to ask for a divorce the day before she asked for a divorce. My wife then slipped the information to me, which, you know, just put my stomach in knots, because I didn't know whether or not I should tell Kevin, hey, your wife's going to ask you for a divorce or not.
You make the call.
We played You Make the Call because I couldn't decide whether or not I made the right call. Fast forward to the day after I tell the story on the radio, I get a text from Kevin that says, we need to talk.
Oh, no.
At that point, I knew I was in big trouble.
Those were the worst.
Oh, yeah, no. I knew I was in big trouble. So we texted a time that we were going to chat. I called him at the time. He answered the phone. He's like, dude, listen. He was pissed at me for two reasons. First, he said, we've been friends since we're 5 years old. You should have told me. You're my boy. Obviously, you're going to be with me longer than she is, because she's obviously asked for a divorce and they're moving on. You should have given me the heads up. You should have let me know. And then B, how is it possible that I'm finding this out on the radio instead of you telling me, hey, this is what happened. I knew about this. I should have told you. I shouldn't have told you. And by the way, I'm going to talk about it on the radio. I had to hear from mutual friends that you spent a good portion of your job talking about the situation on the air. So he was not happy with me. I will say we're still friends. We're still tight. I apologize. I explained to him, you know, good radio trumps all, and it was a great story. And listen, it had to be shared with the world.
He was thrilled with
listen,
that.
Listen, if I'm going to be the next Howard Stern, this has got to come out.
Yeah.
But yet things are good, not for him and his wife, obviously, but things are good between he and I, and that's really what's important to me.
So here's the thing. Now, how did that get back to him? Clearly, friends of friends must have told him, right?
So that Friday, I told the story on the air. That Friday, I got texts from all our friends. Like, we're in a big group of friends. We do fantasy football together. And I got a bunch of texts from those guys asking if it was him. Because they're like, clearly it's not me. My wife
talking
has...
about so and so.
Well, I got this text from a lot of guys. Clearly, my wife hasn't asked for a divorce, so it's not me. Is it him? And at that point, I said, I cannot confirm nor deny these reports. But they obviously texted him and said, hey, was Zetterman talking about you? Is it possible? Because we know you guys are close and have been friends for a long, long time. And so it got back to him. He wasn't listening, but he heard through the grapevine that that was the situation.
But everything's good now on that end, right? You guys are... Is it a little wavy? Are you 100%? 75?
Will you be a little nervous if you bump into him at Whole Foods?
No. We're fine. Like, if he knew some inside information about me, I don't trust that he would probably tell me. I'll say that. Like, I don't know if we're like... Like, he might be like, well, he didn't tell me, so I'm going to hold out on him.
Kevin will save it for his radio show.
Right, exactly.
Correct, yes. But, I mean, I think we're fine. I apologize. I explained the situation.
Did you tell him that next time, next wife, you'll tell him? He'll give him the heads up about a divorce?
Yeah, next time you get married, I will tell you if she tells me she's leaving.
Yeah.
I got you next time. Don't worry. Next divorce.
It doesn't sound like he's getting married ever again, and I don't blame him.
Oh, he's not getting married again.
Once is enough.
You know what? That's what I told Peacock. She goes, you know, when I'm gone, I'm sure that you'll have a girlfriend. Like, no, this is the end. she goes, excuse me? I said, no, this is the end.
This is it.
Oh, this is done. I am going to be the bachelor. Absolutely.
Yeah, one marriage is enough. Once you do it once, if it doesn't work out, no offense to you, Cap, but like I'm just talking for me personally. I've been there, done that, once would be enough.
Yeah, I'm in a way better place today. My ex-wife is too. We're both happy.
Well, I'm glad that you're happy. That's the thing.
312-332-3776. Shot or no shot.
You're going to be like that show Bachelor Father. From the 1950s, right? Just chill.
Or the courtship of Eddie's father.
Ah, Eddie Father. Yes.
Eddie Father.
Big fan.
Eddie Father liked to gamble. We'll be right back.
Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
Cap and J Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. That's why I see him in my shot. No shot with Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see
him in the shot. Shot, no shot's always a fun game. Here's Danny.
Gentlemen, let's talk a little football, shall we?
Bring it on.
Morning, Danny. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, Jonathan. Looking dapper as always, my friend.
Thank you very much. It's wash day.
That's why you look so handsome. I like how your secondary clothes are as nice as your first dairy clothes.
How about that,
How come
Cap?
You don't ever say anything to him? He's got different shirts and jackets on every day.
He looks sharp. You have, like, different looks. Like, he has a consistent style. Like, today, if you're not watching on Twitch, which you should be, Cap is wearing a mustard-colored vest and a flannel shirt. He looks like he's going out to chop wood after the show. Tomorrow, he will be dressed like Bill Belichick, a cut-off hoodie sweatshirt with a hat backwards. Then on Friday, he will come in here with pleated pants, a white belt, a shirt tucked in, and he will look like a pro golfer with his collar up. Like, there's not a consistent look from you. It's whatever store you shopped and you bought it off the mannequin.
No, actually, it's called BU. I just do what I wake up.
Be everybody.
Right. Yeah. Whatever moves me that day.
Yes. It's called PU.
PU.
It's called PU. So.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, and by the way, you don't quote from Nagy. Nagy quotes from you.
Thank you.
Just remember that. He steals your material.
Yeah, just understand, and I'll show you the documented proof. Before he ever got named head coach, I had BU on my morning rundown. That's a fact.
Is that true, Danny?
Matt.
I can't confirm nor deny that.
Ask Wiederer. It's in that Tribune article.
Wiederer will say whatever you want him to say.
Well, I got the documented proof from 2017. I believe Matt Nagy wasn't named until 2018.
How about this? 1 week we switch. You wear old school apparel and a team shirt every day, like me.
Okay.
I'm wearing Grambling State today.
Yes, you are.
a borrowed free T-shirt. You wear that, and I'll start wearing what you wear.
You
collared shirts and a ski vest.
That's it.
You do have a great wardrobe. I mean, no doubt. You have a great wardrobe.
Thank you.
All right, gentlemen, let's talk some football. 29 minutes after the Detroit Lions announced their coach and GM were fired, Matthew Stafford's former backup, our guy Dan Orlovsky, who will join us on Thursday, called for the team to part ways with him. The owner of the team punted when reporters asked her about Stafford's future with the team. She said the next coach would make that decision. We all know what's going on in Philly. We all know how Carson Wentz, who was going to be an NFL MVP, is currently struggling. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, your Chicago Bears should find their next franchise quarterback via trade, either for Matthew Stafford or Carson Wentz.
Find their next head coach via trade.
No, franchise
quarterback.
QB.
Quarterback via trade. I would say no shot.
Yeah, no, I'm with Hoodie.
Let the you know what, Danny? Let the quarterback situation be what it is. Build the offensive line. Make sure that you're getting better defensively as well, because you're getting long in the tooth there as well. But build the line first. It may take a couple of years anyway for you to get to where you need to be, but I say build the line first.
Yeah, I have no interest in Carson Wentz and that onerous contract. Matt Stafford, who broke his back last year and is in mid-30s, no, we're not one player away. Like, boy, if we got quarterback address, we're in. No, thank you. Hard pass.
How about that, Danny?
Good answers. You know, Matthew Stafford always intrigues me. I love him. Something about him. I love him.
God, you love the star power so much. You love the topics for the morning. Imagine Matt Stafford in a Bears uniform, right? And he's underhanding it, and he's doing a submarine thing. He flips it now. He got it from all five arm angles.
He can sling it.
There's no question about that. Even Aaron Rodgers one year went up to Stafford. I think it was a Thanksgiving game. And Rodgers was like, how do you do that? He's like, how do you do that underhand Quisenberry thing?
He goes,
I can't do that. Like, he could do it in all the arm slots, but again, he'd get crushed too behind this line.
Can you tell me who the... I believe it was it his starting center? They were together either on the baseball team or the football team. Matt Stafford at one time was the highest paid player in the National Football League.
That's correct.
Who was his high school teammate that was the highest paid pitcher in Major League Baseball?
Don't know.
That'd be Clayton Kershaw.
All right, we'll turn it over to Danny.
Back to Danny.
All right, gentlemen, back to football. Most believe
I appreciate the trivia there, Binkowski.
There
all right, let's move on.
Most believe an NFL GM needs to be able to hire his own head coach. Thus, this leads us to believe that if Ryan Pace goes, Matt Nagy will go as well. Ross Tucker, who was a former player, he's a current member of the media, he told Brad Biggs in the Tribune that he would like to see what Matt Nagy could do if he had a top 20 type quarterback because, quote, he's never had that and he's won a lot of games not having a top 20 quarterback. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, you'd be on board giving Matt Nagy another shot with a GM that can find him that top 20 QB?
No shot.
Yeah, I'm going to go no shot.
No, I know. Absolutely not. You've got to be able to move on and find someone with more creativity offensively. So here's the problem. This is a longer form discussion. But, Jeff, here's what I don't want. I get tired of trees in the NFL. Get tired of the trees. Here, I'm going to pluck this guy off of this tree. What I want is a guy that's ready-made, someone that came from college or someone that came from the pros, but not necessarily from an Andy Reid tree or Belichick tree. I want my own man to be able to give me something innovative that's ahead of the curve and not behind it.
It would be like when we brought in Phil Emery and we went, yeah, you got to keep Lovey. And then a year later, okay, now you can fire him.
That's
what?
I say no.
Yeah, no, that is interesting because you just – the whole, you know, you don't exactly know what a guy is capable of if he's never done that job before. You know, everyone's always looking for the new hot name, the offensive coordinator to run your offense. And that's why you see all these guys, all these young hot shots, all these 30-year-olds who are, you know, but a lot, if you see it now, they're all alongside a guy like Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan. And so you know that those guys have their fingerprints all over it. And you're like, how much does this guy really have? Look, I'm interested to see what happens with Eric Bieniemy, but until he gets the job and does it on his own, I have no idea. It could be another Matt Nagy situation all over again.
Yeah, you drop Eric Bieniemy in here, and he's going to be like, hold on a second. The guy I was just coaching in Kansas City, he can make that throw. Why can't you two guys make that throw? Because we're not him.
Well, give the brother time. That's the other issue. Like, you know the job's going to be crap, whatever it is, right? But you got to be able to do something with it. You have to have the patience like the Steelers or even the Patriots. Some of our younger listeners don't remember what the Patriots used to look like.
With Victor Kiam?
I mean, just like, you know, Rod Rust. Like, it wasn't very good.
Who?
The coach before, way before Belichick.
What was his name?
Rod Rust.
Rod Rust.
Anyway.
I'm a big John Hanna guy.
Just teaching him.
He was a great player.
Teaching him.
Yeah, but you know it's a problem when your franchise, before they had their run, their franchise identifying player was a lineman, an offensive lineman. That's never a good, good situation. Like the most notable name in franchise history prior to Belichick and Brady was John Hanna, an offensive lineman for the Patriots.
I love teaching you sports every day.
He replaced Pete Carroll. I thought he replaced Parcells. He replaced Pete Carroll.
Yeah, Cap. Yeah.
Rod Rust all the way back in 1990.
You're welcome.
Thank you. He lasted all of 1 year. Thank you.
Who's Rod Rust? Take that!
Take that. You know what I most remember them? Not John Hanna. I remember them having the guy drive the snowplow out on the field. That's what I most remembered about them when Ron Meyer was the head coach.
Ugh.
Another awful one.
Great guest. Horrible coach.
Yeah. Horrible.
We turn now to Danny.
Danny. Turn your mic in.
All right. I didn't want to step on the Rod Rust talk. God knows I didn't want to get in the way of Rod Rust.
By the way, you didn't need the mic.
You heard me. So did Chicago.
They're bleeding down the hall.
I can hear you on Stoney.
All right, Chicago.
All right, Chicago.
Peyton's Places on ESPN Plus is a great show hosted by the Bears' future president, Peyton Manning.
Hey.
Marshawn Lynch is his latest guest. He talked to Peyton about his pregame superstition. Have a listen.
You believe in superstitions? I always like to read the program front to back for whatever reason before the game. You know, by the end of the season, you know where every accountant for the Colts went to college. What were yours? Right. What was your
My superstition was that I needed to have maybe a shot and a half before every game.
Of?
Hennessy. What you mean of?
I was thinking.
Yeah.
Gatorade. Toradol. I don't know what I was thinking.
Hell no.
And there's a bar right there in the locker room in Seattle. Schneider and Pete Carroll.
My backpack.
Got it. The backpack.
Wow. Shot and a half of Hennessy. Now let's go play.
So, gentlemen, I ask you, no pun intended, shot or no shot, you guys have a pre-show superstition.
Yes. Do you have one?
I'm effed in the head. I have like a bunch. Like I have to brush my teeth before I get in the shower. So like I have a whole routine in the morning.
Not your daily routine. I'm not asking do you have a routine.
That's before I come here to do the morning
show. We all have a routine in the shower. We wash our underarms before we wash our backside. I'm asking if you have a routine before you go on the air to entertain the millions of listeners.
I turn my wedding ring twice. Clockwise and counterclockwise before I go on.
Yeah, no, I don't.
You have another one, Hoodie. I have to ask for a meeting a certain way every day.
That is true.
If I don't say it the same way, you make me repeat it.
Well, when Cap finally gets here at 6:45.
Yeah, funny.
Danny starts to start in the meeting. I go, wait, say it the way you always say it. Guys, can we have a little meeting?
Should we have a little meeting?
That's it. If we don't get guys, can we have a little meeting, then the show's going to suck. So that's the issue. You got to say that.
Yes, that's one of your superstitions.
You got to, if otherwise, it's not going to be great. But sometimes you just start barreling in. Guys, I read! Now, wait, hold on a second. Wait a minute. Give me a little meeting. Guys, can we have a little meeting?
Okay, now you can say what
yes.
you
want
to
say.
You know how we have a meeting, a little behind the curtain here, that uh-oh. Not even you guys know about? You know how we have a meeting, and then we have to have a re-meeting for Cap? These days, I have a triple meeting. So it's our meeting, then our re-meeting for Cap. Then when Carm comes in, Mellor relays to him everything we met about earlier in the day.
Carm!
Carm, today in the meeting,
well,
we discussed.
If you had Merkin as your producer, you'd have to do that, too. we'll take a quick time out.
Wait a minute.
Loose lip sync shifts. We'll be right back.
Wait a minute.
Itching your morning sports fix. Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
That's Hoodie. I'm Cap. We'll try and roll through calls and get set for Carm, Yerk, then Greeny, then Waddle and Sylvie.
Yep.
And Black and Abdallah, 6-8.
Good.
That's what the name of the show is, kid.
Okay, just check
it. Get with the program. Danny?
Gentlemen, loose lips sink ships. Detroit Lions interim head coach Daryl Bevel really screwed up on his first day of the job. So he was doing the media call with the Zoom members yesterday, and he was explaining to them why he had such a good weekend. Have a listen. Afterwards, when we were listening to it on this side of the glass, it reminded us of a member of the show that would probably do something like that. We'd like you to identify who that is, but have a listen to how he really screwed up on his first day on the job.
I think it was Saturday. All the days were running together already, but on Saturday, I was with my family, my wife, my three daughters, and then my my two, I guess, future son-in-laws now. They both wanted to talk to me this past weekend. But we were at the Henry Ford Museum, and we were having a good time there, and then got a text and ended up calling and talking to Rod and Sheila.
So this happens on the same weekend that two men asked you for your daughter's hands in marriage. Is that how we're understanding it correctly?
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, they two of them. I got two older daughters, and it both happened. But and a kind of funny story. One of them, so my middle daughter's a softball player at BYU, and so she wanted, when she came up here, she's like, I haven't got enough hitting yet. I want to go hit. So we went out and hit, and one of them took a softball off the eye. So he asked me why we were in the emergency room getting him stitched up, if you can believe it.
Wow. Well, congrats on all that, Daryl.
Thank you. I do have to say one thing, though. So the two guys asked me for my permission. They haven't officially asked them yet. So that's where that was. That was just permission. Oh. So I don't know when that's coming. But just to be clear.
Oh, my God.
So he spilled the beans.
What a. You know what? If I'm Martha Ford, I fire him today. You're fired, too.
You're out.
Patricia, the GM. And now because you stooged that off, you're fired.
Yeah, Bevel, you're with them. Get Jim Caldwell back here.
Just, what a moron.
Wow.
I mean, who says that out loud, Cap? Like, yeah, that's how it usually goes. You ask the, you know, the soon-to-be father-in-law, the hand in marriage.
For permission.
Yeah, you just don't roll it out there.
I did that. You did that, didn't
yes.
you? Yes. Yeah. Ron? Ron Samita, Dixon, Illinois. May I marry your daughter?
Yes. Yes. And, you know, my response on the other end when I said, hey, you know, can I marry your daughter? He goes, yeah, sure. It's your problem now.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
That's what he said.
She's all yours.
Hope his daughters are planning on saying yes.
What? What? I'm firing Bevel today. Danny.
So which member of this show do you think would do something like that?
Definitely Cap.
Definitely Cap.
He can't hold anything. He can't hold his own water, for God's sake.
No shot.
My God. He's awful with it.
This is a true story. Like 3 years ago, I told Cap something. This is a true story. You can't deny it, Cap, because we've talked about it before. I told Cap something. I said, you can't repeat this. I'm just telling you. I walked out of the room. As I'm walking back into the room, he was telling Carmen what I literally asked him not to tell anyone.
I don't remember that.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. You're like, you know, like a firefly. You're just whichever way the wind blows. I mean, listen, I trust you with some stuff, but you know the really really sensitive stuff. We got to know each other a little bit more,
a little longer.
Yeah, because if you do tell someone, see, I'm black.
You are.
Yeah, I will. Well, if you don't know that by now, how about this baseball bat? I'm black now. Take that. You know, if you do tell, just keep in mind, it's me, Cap. If you stooge me off, I have a baseball bat in my trunk, and I know how to use it.
You will come at me.
Yeah, no question.
I get it.
I don't care what lawyers you know. Nothing's going to hurt more than that baseball bat. Take that.
Take that.
So you better keep it close to vest. When I tell you something.
Let me zip the vest up.
Keep it close to your vest.
Hold on.
Keep it close to your vest. Do not tell anybody what I tell you in confidence.
Is that good?
That's good. That's pretty close.
All right. Crosstalk with Carmen Yerk in 2 minutes.
Take that.